Radio Free Palmer, 89.5 KVRF, presents Mushing Radio, hosted by Robert Forto. Mushing Radio is about dog-powered sports, living in the Great White North, and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Here is your host, Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Mushing Radio on KVRF in Palmer, Alaska. Tonight, we're covering our Iditarod Musher series, and on the line is 2012 Iditarod Rookie of the Year, Brent Sass. He's calling up from near Eureka, Alaska. He is calling on a satellite feed, so it's a little bit delayed, but bear with us because this guy's got one heck of a story to tell. Brent, how's it going?
It's going very well here. The rain finally stopped in Eureka, so we're drying out a little bit today.
Very cool. So, you know, anybody that follows Iditarod knows who you are, but for the newcomers to the radio show and to the sport, give us a little bit of a history about you and your kennel, Wild and Free.
Well, I grew up in Minnesota. I moved to Alaska about 13 years ago, and about 9 years ago, I saw my first dog team go by at my feet, and I decided this is what I wanted to do. Spent the last 6-8 years building a team. I've run the Yukon Quest 6 times, finished in the top 5 3 times out of that, and then ran my first Iditarod last year, finishing 13th as Rookie of the Year. And I don't know, I live, eat, breathe, and sleep sled dogs. This summer has been a pretty exciting time for me. I've been renting a place out here, which is about 150 miles west of Fairbanks, for the last 5 years, spending my winters out here. Just the solitude and the complete focus on the dogs is what I really love about this place. And this summer, I was able to buy it from some friends of mine, and so now I've got my own place out here. It's got a really great setup. And, dogs and I moved out here a couple months ago, and we're just soaking it all in, learning the whole new system, and getting ready for the exciting season to come.
You know, you post some awesome pictures on your Facebook page. Just make sure you guys search Wild and Free Mushing on Facebook. That's where Brent spends a lot of his time for his fans and for his updates. I have to ask you, most guys do not take such good pictures as you. Where do you get those awesome shots from?
I think most... there. I'm in the places where the awesome shots can be taken. I'm not a good photographer by any stretch of the mind, but I think I put myself into a lot of different situations where I can get some great photos, and I carry a camera sometimes, and I'm snapping. I probably take 20 pictures to one that sits up there great. I also, on Wild and Free Mushing, I've got a good friend of making a lot of good photos, and she's been posting a lot of stuff for me, too. So I don't do it myself.
You mentioned you just recently moved to your new place. That's a pretty nice spread you have. Is there any history to that place? I saw the sign that you guys recently put up a couple of weeks ago. Tell us a little bit about the place where you're living.
Yeah, there's an amazing history of this place. Well, about 40 years ago, Ed and Willow Salter, the people who I bought it from, they walked in here, the 9-10 miles off the road, and during the last year of the Homestead Act here in Alaska. And they staked it and started building the place, and they were just going to do it as a vacation. And the vacation turned into a year, and a year turned into 40. They basically built this place up and became gold miners. They were dog mushers. Ed Salter was a very, very well-known mid-distance racer and leased a lot of dogs to Iditarod mushers like Dee Dee Johnro and Jeff King and Rick Swenson and Susan Butcher when they were in their heyday. So this place has got dogs running, breathing through it, and they built an amazing spot here. I mean, it's something that I could never build in a lifetime. I'm 8 miles off the main highway on a road that doesn't go anywhere but my place, and it's amazing. It's just a great place. It's a big shop. I've got a generator and a battery backup system and a nice little cabin / and a great dog yard here. So trail access here in Eureka is second to none. It's real tough training. The wind blows real hard here. It's 40 below a good portion of the season. But it's all the things the dogs need to prepare them for these races. And so I think Eureka, there's no question why Rick Swenson and Susan Butcher lived and trained out of this place.
Very cool. Again, check out those photos on Wild and Free's Facebook page. We're talking to Brent Sass tonight on Mushing Radio. Before we get too involved, Brent, we definitely have to talk about a big motivator in your mushing life, your dog, Silver. What is his story?
Well, Silver was the first sled dog that I ever got. He got it all started for me. Actually, the guy that I first saw on the trail with a dog team, I kind of followed him back to his place and eventually got Silver from him. He was a puppy, just 6 weeks old when I got him. And, you know, we grew up together. We learned everything together along the way. And when I first started mushing, I was just going to be a recreational musher. I didn't have any desire to race. I just wanted to get further out into the woods with my dogs, and having a full team really allowed me to do that. And so Silver and I learned together. We created a bond that was second to none, that is second to none, and we did some amazing stuff before we got into the racing. And that was just a boss and a bonus that he actually was able to sort of convert from a recreational dog, a dog that had no race history in his genetics at all, to become such a known dog in the racing community. It's his head. You know, he's a very special dog, and throughout our whole career, we've always been the team that never gives up, that's never going to quit, and is always there to lend a hand if we have to. And throughout the years in the Yukon Quest, there's no doubt that there were many rescue missions that we were involved in, and places where Silver was the key element in making it all happen. I would not be to where I am today if I didn't have Silver in my kennel. And looking out at my dog yard right now, I'd say about a third to two-thirds, almost two-thirds of my dogs out here are out of Silver. I've taken him and bred him to many different genetics, Mackie and Boozer and some Smith and a bunch of different genetics, and some Reddington, Joey Reddington, some Sprint Blood I even got in there. So I got a lot of his offspring in my team, and this season it's all going to come together for me. I'm really looking forward to it. I'll say half to three-quarters of my team this year, and I did a Rod and Quest, will be dogs out of Silver.
Very cool. We're talking to Brent Sass, Rookie of the Year of 2012, Iditarod. Before we talk about Iditarod, tell us a little bit about those first few races that you ran. You know, everybody has to run those qualifying races to get prepared for the Iditarod. Maybe talk a little bit about that before, you know, the big jump into long-distance mushing like the Quest and eventually the Iditarod this year. What were you doing in the early days?
Well, you know, it turned from, like I said, being just a rec team to like, oh, maybe I'll try my hat in mushing. And I went into the Quest 300 in 2006, and bad storms, harsh weather, it was right up my alley, and we ended up winning our very first race, the Quest 300 in 2006, and I was hooked. I was totally hooked to that, and for Copper Basin, and I do the Gin in the Copper Basin every year. And I've run a few other races. And, you know, getting prepared, those 200-mile races, they were a big step from the recreational stuff. But I had done some really long treks with my dog just for fun. So we were really tuned in on the camping and the things like that. So those races were a great warm-up to the big ones. I was eager. And so, I mean, I only raced 1 year. I raced in 2006. I did two races. And then I did the Yukon Quest the following year after that. I jumped right in head first. And then I've run the Quest every year since. And then, you know, most of the way, when I first started, I picked the Quest as the first 1,000-mile race I want to do, mostly because it's more of a wilderness race. It's more of a race that you're less support, you're out there on your own a little bit more. And that was the thing that really drew me to the Quest. That was more my wilderness way, as you may call it. But I always knew I wanted to run the Iditarod, and really it was when financially I kind of made it all happen that I could run both, because I'm a quester by heart, and I definitely am going to run the Yukon Quest as many years as I can. And now that I've done the Iditarod, every year until I can't do it anymore, too. So I've gotten totally addicted to both of the races now after running the Iditarod last year.
It doesn't help that they're pretty much right there in our backyard up here in Alaska. You know, the Quest starts every other year in Fairbanks, and of course the Iditarod pretty much runs right past the areas where you're doing your training. What do you think about the two different races? You mentioned that the Yukon Quest is a more of a personal type race. There's not a lot of support. There's not a lot of that media out there. Not a lot of volunteers like there is on the Iditarod. What is the main difference to you in regards of the two in your career? What do you see different?
I mean, it really boils down to the support for the race. There's only 8-9 checkpoints in the Yukon Quest now, and, you know, there's over 20 in the Iditarod. So that is the biggest difference. I think there's a lot of stopping, a lot more things that take you out of focus in the Iditarod. I think you have to really be really good at focusing and be really good at tuning out from your dogs and talking to the media and dealing with checkpoints and then getting right back into your dogs. Right away. It's one of those things. There's a lot more distractions in the Iditarod than in the Quest. In the Quest, you've got to be really, you know, not that you don't have to be mentally strong in the Iditarod, but in the Quest, you're out there for days at a time where you may not even see a person. And I think those are the reasons that I really like the Quest, is because I enjoy those days. I enjoy the time out there alone with the dogs. I really enjoy being able to stay focused on the dogs the entire way. But, you know, the two races are very similar at the same point. I mean, it takes just as many people to put on the Quest as it does the Iditarod, and there's definitely some media out there in the Quest. It's just not as big of a hoopla about it. But I'd say mostly it's that horror factor. And then we also do a little bit different conditions. There's three major mountain passes over to the top of the Quest, whereas in the Iditarod there's just one big one in Rainy Pass. We don't deal with the coast in the Quest, but we have, you know, other obstacles. There's a lot, you know, in my experience, there's just a lot of more ruggedness to the trail. It's not as groomed out as it is in the Iditarod, but I wouldn't call it harder. Neither race is harder or easier. I think they're just very different.
Great analogy there between the two. I appreciate that. Let's talk about this year's race. Rookie of the Year, congratulations on that. I'm sure lots of people have definitely found out about you now that you've pretty much come on the scene of the Iditarod. A lot of people know the name Brent Sass and Wild and Free, but you're an old hat at this. Like you said, you've been doing the Quest since 2006, at least the Quest 300, I believe you said. Is that right, Brent?
Yep, in 2006 I did the Quest 300, and in 2007 I ran my first Quest.
Okay, so a year later you were already out there doing your 1,000-milers. How was it like out there on the trail this year? We've talked to guys every week since the end of the race, and everybody has a little bit different take on it. You were right there in the thick of things, coming in 13th place. How was the race for you in terms of you know, the conditions and what you experienced on the trail out there?
Oh, I had a blast. I had a really, really good time. And I think, you know, I ran into the Iditarod a little differently than I go into the Quest these days, because I have confidence in the Quest. I know the trail ahead of me, and I know what I'm getting myself into. Whereas the Iditarod this year, it was all new to me. And so I had to take, there's a very interesting, you know, being a fairly, I mean, I'm not nearly experienced as the guys. I've been dealing with this for 40 years, but I've engulfed my life in it for the last 6-7 years. So I've got some experience. And so going into the Iditarod, I was able to use some of that experience, but I was still a rookie, and so I had to take it kind of slow, and I ran a pretty conservative race for my style, that being the best race that I've ever run. I think to the date, the smartest race I've ever run was my rookie year in Iditarod. I think I took care of my dogs real well. I finished with 13 dogs, which was a really big thing for me. I was really excited that I was able to finish with that many dogs. I think that's the culmination of doing a good job taking care of my dogs, and then the culmination of the last 6-7 years of breeding to getting to the point where I've got the dogs that I have. But as far as conditions, I mean, the Iditarod, it was, you know, like I said, there's a lot more media. In general, I wasn't swamped by any of that. I didn't get overwhelmed by any of that. I enjoyed every step of the way. I enjoyed every mile of the Iditarod. Everyone nice out on the trail. They treated me with a lot of respect. I think they do with everybody. I had a great experience. And, you know, the weather would have been harsher. I don't think the weather was all that bad. I got some real good wind going from Chektulik over to Koyak. Left some people in the dust there, which I was really happy about. And, you know, that's the conditions that I thrive in. So I'm kind of always praying for the bad weather and the harsh conditions here. So I really enjoyed my Iditarod run, and I just can't wait to get out on the trail this year, go to race. This year I was going, my goal was to get Rookie of the Year, and I did that. But next year I'm not going to say I'm going to win it, but I'm going to go to be a lot more competitive than I was this year.
Brent Sass is our guest tonight on Mushing Radio. Brent, you mentioned that you ran a relatively conservative race in this year's Iditarod, finishing in 9 days, 20 hours. How is that conservative in regards to a recent Quest run? What did you finish at your last Quest? And maybe compare the two times in regards to being conservative or, you know, a little bit different.
Well, it's hard to compare the two races because they're so different in conditions. And the timing is so different with the different mandatory stops and things. But, you know, I ran a lot longer runs in the Yukon Quest than I did. I shortened my runs up. I rested longer. I rested more in the Iditarod than I definitely rested in the Quest. And I think, you know, like in the end, I think it was a smart idea. And I learned a lot from my Iditarod run going, well, maybe I don't have to run as long as I have been in the Quest. Maybe I can take these guys a little bit faster and not such long runs. So, I mean, I learned a lot, and that's mainly why I call it a conservative race, because I didn't do the really long runs. I didn't do the wild. I'm known for throwing out some wild card things in the Quest, and doing long runs is where people don't think you're going to do long runs and that sort of thing. And I didn't pull any of my Brent antics in the Iditarod this year, which ended up being a great thing. If I would have, I maybe wouldn't have been able to move up a few places, but I was there to get that first run underneath my belt, and I did that smoothly. I feel like I didn't have any problems, or very few problems out there in the Iditarod this year. So, I mean, the main difference is that I just ran shorter runs, didn't do any real wild, crazy antics out there on the trail this year.
Wild and crazy antics. I know that you are known for those. Tell us a little bit about that story where you burned your boots there on the Yukon Quest.
Yeah, I was, my feet, I did a lot of running. I do a lot of running. I sweat a lot during the race. I help my dogs out as much as possible. By the time I burned feet, my boots were completely soaked through, and they were not doing a good job of keeping my feet in good shape. And my feet were hurting bad, and a bunch of people commented, those boots need new boots. And I'm not even sure the boots are the real problem. It's probably the way that I took care of myself out there. But in the end, you know, when I was coming into the chute, I was in good spirits. I was pretty happy. And so about, I don't know, 60, 70 yards just out of sight from the finish line, I stopped real quick, dumped some methanol in my boots, took my boots off, dumped the methanol in the boots, and lit them on fire. So I had to come in across the finish line just sort of, to show that my feet were feeling a little better now that I got my boots off. I don't know. It was just a fun antic to do out there.
You got to have fun out there. When you're out there for 9 or 10 days, and like you said on the Quest, there's times where you may not see another individual. It's good to let loose a little bit. It doesn't have to be serious all the time, does it?
No, you know, I mean, it's all about having fun. Attitude is everything. That's my favorite quote of all time. And if you don't have a good attitude, you're not going to get very far down the trail. So I keep a really positive attitude all the time, and doing things like burning my boots at the end of the race and things like that just sort of keep my morale up. I think as long as my morale is up, the dog's morale is going to be up. So I think overall, like I said, attitude is everything, and keeping a positive one out there is the ultimate goal. And I think throwing a few crazy things in there sort of helps that along the way.
Very cool. We're talking to Brent Sass tonight, 2012 Iditarod Rookie of the Year. Brent, let's talk a little bit about what goes on in the off season. You mentioned that this summer you're doing the big move over to your new place. What do you do in the off season? You know, a lot of guys fish. Some people work construction. What goes on there at the Wild and Free homestead there?
Well, in the past, I mean, in the past, I've done a lot of tourism. I used to work at Chena Hot Springs. I worked with Dave Munson at Trailbreaker Kennel doing the Riverboat Discovery Tour in Fairbanks the last few summers. I build log cabins. I have a rental cabin construction business in Fairbanks. I have 6 cabins that I and rental business that I rent out to students and other young people that want to live that cabin lifestyle in Fairbanks. And so I maintain that. And I usually build a cabin or two every summer, but this summer I've mixed it up a little bit. I have a new place out here, and I wanted to get out as possible. So I actually tried my hat a little bit of gold miner, and it was a lot of fun. It was a great experience, and I made enough money to make a while, and I don't make a career out of it, but I sort of partnered up with a guy who knew what he was doing, and I got the ambition and the attitude to get it done. So we partnered up, and we're pretty successful at it. So I had a pretty exciting summer out here. We're done with that now for the summer, and that's another reason why it's been such a great summer, is that that's done early, and now I'm going directly to focusing on the dogs. I mean, I've been running them all summer here and there, but here in another 4 or 5 days, I'm going to start training full-time, working with these. I got 32 dogs for my race here to run for the Quest and Iditarod. So my the rest of my summer is going to be devoted to that. And then there's a lot of projects around the homestead here. I mean, it's been here a long time, and there's lots of things that I'm going to change to get back to a dog yard and having to do a bunch of things there and getting a feed room set up and just general maintenance on the place and just getting to know the whole system. So I've got a lot of prep work for myself around here that I'm working on, and I had a handler for about 3 weeks, and they came and did a great job and were helping me out, but the solitude got to them a little bit, and they ended up saying that they wouldn't be able to commit for the whole season. So I'm back out here alone. So I'm actually looking for a handler right now too. So I keep myself busy out here right now. I got 60 dogs, and I'm out here alone. So and I'm getting it all done and enjoying every second of it.
So you're looking for a handler. They can find out more about that on your Facebook page. You mentioned that you do have a website. What is that address? I know you don't update it as often as you do your Facebook.
No, it's wildandfreealaska.com, and it has a lot of the history of me and just about me in general. But my current updates are all on either my personal Facebook, Brent Sass, or on Wild and Free Mushing Facebook page.
Brent, we have about 6 minutes or so left. You mentioned that you're starting training pretty much right now. How is the weather for you guys up there in the central part of the state? Is it conducive enough for training yet? Or are you just doing, quick little runs on an ATV or whatever you use? Or are you focusing on some hardcore training already?
Oh, it's real simple. It's real basic right now. I mean, a lot of it's loose running with the four-wheeler. I'll go out with the four-wheeler and have 5 or 6 dogs running loose, just getting their legs stretched out. I've been doing that most of the summer, but I'll start doing that a little bit more. And the temperatures are cool. I mean, I woke up to 38 degrees here in Eureka this morning. And granted, it's been wet and kind of rainy here the last week, and so that's kind of helped keep it real cool. But those fires up in the morning, it's been getting cool enough at night that you can go out. I got a cart here, an Arctis cart that I run, a three-wheeled cart that I run with the dogs that really stimulates mushing a lot more than a four-wheeler does. So I've been hooking that up a couple times a week, but I'm going to get on a regular basis where I'm going to be running dogs every day. But real short, 3, 4, 5, 6 miles in the beginning, and then we'll build up from there. But getting that base on now and getting the dogs out and fired up about the season ahead is real important. And nothing else get me sort of back in the groove of running dogs. Even you stop for a couple of months, and it takes a little while to get back into the groove of it.
Right. When you mentioned get you back in the mood or the motivation to run dogs again, how do you prepare yourself as a musher in regards of training versus the dogs? A lot of people hear about the dogs and how we train them. We take them out on 4 or 5 mile runs to start with. How do you prepare yourself to get ready for the season?
Well, I've lived this lifestyle. In the bush, it's a lot of work. I mean, I'm on my feet 12, 14, 16 hours a day constantly, whether I'm cutting firewood or building something or repairing something or running dogs. I'm real active. I'm on my feet all the time. I do a little bit of running. I do a lot of hiking out here. I've done quite a bit of hiking this summer, just going on short hikes, or I got a hot spring down the ways a little ways, so I hike out to that every now and then. I stay active. I don't stop. I'm a very active person, and I get myself. I live in the wilderness now, so it's right out my back door. I can just put my boots on and go for a hike.
Very cool. Brent Sass, our guest tonight on Mushing Radio. Brent, I like to ask you guys every week one question that we hope to get different answers for every week. For the up-and-coming mushers, the recreational guys, the guys that are, thinking about doing the big races in the future, what is one piece of advice you can give to those guys that may help them out there on the trail?
Make sure you're having fun. Don't ever do it unless you're having fun, because it's not worth it if you're not having fun doing it. I mean, that's the bottom line. The racing is a lifestyle. It's an all-inclusive. It drains your bank account. It drains your body. But if you love it, and you truly, truly enjoy it, it's totally possible. But the biggest thing I can say is that make sure that you really, really want to do it and that you're having fun doing it. Because that's the only way you're going to ever be successful at it is if you're having fun doing it.
Is it true that you can have fun the entire time, or sometimes you're just thinking, my God, you know, another day at this until we reach the next checkpoint or whatever? What do you do when you're out there and you're feeling a little blue, a little bit down? What do you do to pep yourself up?
I'm a pretty upbeat person. I'm really, really good at just keeping to the positive. It's really all about your attitude. And, you know, I lean on my dogs a lot. I think, you know, I really bring a positive attitude to it, and I think my dogs bring that positive attitude too. So sometimes when I'm bummed out, I can rely on them to pump me up a little bit. You know, it's mental. This whole thing, life is 99.9% mental. And if you can get mentally prepared for anything, then you're set. There's nothing that's going to stop you, and you can pretty much have fun at anything if you're mentally prepared for it.
So you mentioned UConn Quest. You mentioned Iditarod. You signed up for both. You ready to go for those? Are you doing anything else this season? Any mid-distance races? You going to show up anywhere else?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm hoping he was going to have his race down in Tolk out there and go to Eagle. I'm definitely going down for that. I'll be running the Copper Basin again this year, and I haven't signed up for the Quest or the Iditarod, but I'll be there on both of those this year too. So I got a pretty good race season ahead of me, and I'll be doing a lot of training out here in Eureka. It's a long way for me to drive to more than about four or five races a season. So I do a lot of mock training out here, a lot of mock racing. I'm going to hopefully have some friends out here this year that can come out and sort of get some other dog teams, some other presence on the trail, which will help sort of socialize my dogs and get them used to passing people and things. That's the only thing that we don't really have out here. But I'm pretty fired up about the race season ahead.
You know, Brett, you talked about the race that Hugh Neff is getting ready to put on. He and I talked about that today, and we're going to get that up and going real soon. It's going to be called the Top of the World race. It's going to go from Tope to Eagle and back, about 370 miles, I believe, is what it equals altogether. We're thinking about doing it right around Christmas time and ending on the solstice. And the reason we're saying that is the Top of the World. We never know what's going to happen on that 21st of December. At least we might be out there mushing when the end comes. What do you think about that?
Oh, that's great. I'm stoked. I mean, he went and did that trip last year just as a trip, and I was jealous when he got back from that. I told him that if he did that trip again this year, I'd be out there doing it with him. So I'm really stoked to hear that you guys are getting a race put together. That's really awesome. I'll be there if the race happens.
Very cool. We're going to talk about it on his show tomorrow, the Gypsy Musher, gypsymusher.com. Brent, it was my pleasure having you on. Again, I apologize to our listeners for that slight delay on the satellite, but when you're living out in the middle of the nowhere, living that mushing dream, that's the things that you give up is that technology. Brent, it was my pleasure. Take care, okay?
Yep, you too. Thanks a lot for having me on.
No problem. Brent Sass, Wild and Free Mushing Alaska. Definitely check him out on Facebook and follow this guy. He's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I look forward to him being up there at the first, second, third place in the very coming years. Brent, thank you very much. Next week on our show on Mushing Radio, we're going to have Kelly Griffin on, and in 2 weeks, the Jamaican musher, Newton Marshall, and he's going to be at the Sportsman's Warehouse in Wasilla this Sunday, promoting his new book, One Mush, Jamaica's Dog Sled Team. Make sure you check that out at Sportsman's Warehouse here in Wasilla on Saturday from 11 to 4. Again, want to thank my guest, Brent Sass, Wild and Free Mushing, and we'll see you guys next time. Goodbye.